Hey, how are you? Thanks for stopping by. You're looking good for a change. Anyway, today on the program, Dennis Hoff will be joining us. He's been on the show a number of times. He is the owner and proprietor of the Bunny Ranch and similar brothels in Nevada, in the state of Nevada, in various towns. Prostitution and brothels are accepted, legal, if properly executed, and he does so. They are fine hotels where you can do that kind of thing, very well organized and orchestrated. Anyway, he joins us today because he has been in the news recently within the past week. He made an offer to O.J. Simpson. You're familiar with O.J. Simpson, aren't you? O.J. Simpson is being released from prison on October 1st. He'll be a quote-unquote free man, if that's very possible with him at all. And Dennis Hoff, the owner of the brothels, made a job offer to O.J. And O.J., I don't know if he's responded yet. We'll find out. It's interesting. Dennis believes that everybody should be given a second chance. The job he's offering him is quite interesting, and we'll talk about that. So sit back, relax. Just, I don't want you to have to do anything. Just sit down, listen to the show, and be quiet. That's all you need to do. Here we go.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting. All right.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Oh, yes, they do get a bit weird sometimes.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, any one of those things. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. Thank you so much for entertaining my thoughts and my dreams. I don't even know what that meant. I have no idea. I'm just wasting time, I guess. You got to understand, I do this every weekday, by the way. If you haven't joined me before, let me introduce myself. This is me. Okay. Here's the deal. I talk for an extended period of time. You sit down, have a drink, have a little sandwich or something like that, and I do all the stuff. You just sit down and relax. So you chill, and what we do is we look at life, all aspects of life, and we say, like, that doesn't make sense, and why are we putting up with this kind of thing? That's what we do. So I talk, you be quiet.
Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet.
Please.
Please be quiet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thanks.
Oh, if only it were that simple as far as children are concerned. But it frequently is not. All right, you be quiet. I talk, and no phone calls, nothing like that, no interaction. I'm really not interested in what you have to say. Now, As long as I got that out of the way, you need to know where the fire exits are just in case of an emergency. I have to do that for legal purposes.
This is the Ron Van Dam Show. Thank you for coming. Your waiter will be along shortly. Please be advised that the Ron Van Dam Show has been designated as a non-smoking area. Please watch your step while boarding the Ron Van Dam Show, as contents may have shifted during travel. In clinical studies, the Ron Van Dam Show has not been shown to reduce cholesterol in laboratory animals. Exits are located to the rear on the left and right sides of the auditorium. The sea bass is steamed and served with a white truffle risotto. Illinois residents add 5% sales tax. Shake before serving. If dizziness or swelling occur, stop using the Ron Van Dam Show immediately. Proper ID is required. No cover charge after 10 p.m. Moo. Listening to the Ron Van Dam Show may require you to lift objects weighing 15 pounds or more. Please remain seated until the Ron Van Dam Show comes to a complete stop.
Okay, got it down now? Did you jot down those rules? Because there'll be a test a little bit later on for valuable cash and prizes. Coming up a little bit later in the show, not too long from now, we speak to Dennis Hoff, brothel owner, and his offer to O.J. Simpson. And we also take a look at the wonderful world of brothels, where there are locations in this country where you can actually have these establishments. What they're doing is they're offering services to people that want that service. Isn't that what America is all about? Seriously, I'm not kidding you. As long as it's done right, what's wrong with doing it? That's my opinion, but we'll get into that later. Okay. Sorry for laughing. That was certainly not called for. I've reached a point in my life, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a child. I'm not 10 years old. I'm not 20 years old. I'm not 30 years old. I've reached a point in my life where I've earned the points enough to not to have to do something that I did all my life. And I'll tell you what that is. And this is my gauge of maturity. At this point in my life, I no longer mow the lawn. You're saying to yourself, Ron, what the hell are you talking about? Well, here's what it is. When I was a little child, when I was able to walk, my father gave me a push lawnmower. Now, I don't know if you know what a push lawnmower is. It doesn't run on gasoline, doesn't run on electric. You push the mower and the blades move because the wheels on the mower move, and you have to push it to make it go. And that cuts the grass. This is before, there were gas-powered lawnmowers, but our family didn't have one. I wouldn't say they were cheap or anything, but they saw a workhorse in me. So they gave me a push mower, and that's what I did for all of my childhood. I mowed the lawn. I wasn't very good at it, because I'm not good at a lot of things that involve mechanical gears and stuff. I don't get involved. I usually don't touch things that make me sweat. But my father insisted upon it. All he ever asked for me to do was to mow the lawn. And he made me do it a couple of times a week. And I don't know why. Maybe he felt it was the only way to get any exercise, which was indeed the case. But I mowed that freaking lawn like continually through my entire childhood. And it wasn't the ease of the power mower. It was the push mower thing. If the grass was a little dewy sweet, a little moist, that push mower was like pushing a rake through cement. It was an awful experience. By the time I finished mowing the lawn, it was literally time to start again, because the grass had already grown on the other side where I started mowing 2 days ago. It was an exercise in hell. My friends would say, Ron, let's play ball. Let's play stickball. Let's go somewhere. I can't, Bobby. I have to mow the lawn for my father with my high-powered push mower. That's what I did. It was my one responsibility. When I was a kid, if you looked in the dictionary, in the encyclopedia, if you looked up the word push mower, you would see a picture of me mowing the lawn. I was that connected to that activity. I was the poster child nationally. And then I got a little bit older, and I lived on my own, and I acquired my first house when I was about 23 years old, 24, something like that. I have no recollection of anything that happened, even yesterday. Anyway, you know, people say to me, Ron, what'd you do yesterday? I have to pause. I have no idea. Sometimes I'll make something up because I'm embarrassed that I don't remember what I did yesterday. Basically, because nothing really happened. That's what's the point of remembering something that basically not wasn't important. So I got my own home, and at that point they had power mowers more prevalent in the market, and I had a power mower, and I would mow the lawn continually then. On hot August days, I remember basically melting into my pants in a pool of sweat. And I did that for a long time. So here I am today. I hire a landscaping company to take care of my lawn. No longer do we call it mowing. We call it landscaping, you see. Now it's a fine art. We've gone from the push mower to the landscaping, the entire thing. And man, I said to myself at a point, you know what? I paid my dues. I did my thing. I've served my country. I've served my lawn. So let somebody else do it. And I must admit, and don't tell anybody else, because this is very embarrassing, but sometimes I'll just sit at my window and I'll stare at my lawn and I'll watch these people toiling and mowing and edging and weeding and thatching and patching and scratching, and I'll just watch them do that stuff and I'll think back to my younger days when I did that all myself because I had to. And I sit back with my little alcoholic beverage, watching these people work, watching the sweat roll down their little foreheads. They're getting paid to do it. I didn't get paid to do it. I did it because my father told me to. And if I didn't do it when I was a kid, oh, there'd be hell to pay. I wouldn't get an allowance. I'd be shunned by my neighbors. Probably flogged and waterboarded. I don't know what they would have done to me. So now I sit in the lap of luxury, quote unquote, staring out the window watching other people do what I did for most of my life. So I'll admit to you that I gauge my success by the fact that I don't have to mow the lawn anymore. That's where it's at, baby. We're going to take a break. When we come back, owner of the brothel in Nevada joins us right after this.
Yes, of course, you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hey, Dennis, welcome to the program, Dennis Hoff.
Good morning, Boston. Good morning.
Hey, we've spoken many times before. Whenever there's some type of controversy or maybe an event or something in the news, you sometimes get involved. As a matter of fact, you wanted to run for political office at one point. I remember that.
Yeah, I did. I'm doing it again.
Well, good. I hope you run for president. Because you couldn't do any worse. Thank you. That's it.
anyway. This political system, I'll tell you what, I hate it. Yeah, I hate it. Yeah. And all these guys do is make decisions based on whether they're going to get more money in their right pocket or their left pocket.
That's unbelievable.
And whether they're going to get reelected to get more money. They don't care about us.
Yeah. Well, all right. And then there was, you were in the news because of that quote unquote basketball player situation.
Yeah, Lamar Odom. Yeah, what an idiot, you know. But I'll tell you, in defense of Lamar and drugs, I mean, he's all. If I had to sleep with Khloe Kardashian's big butt, I'd be the same way. I'd probably be a drug addict.
That's awfully fair then. Okay, that makes sense. Maybe you should be in politics, actually. All right.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. Now we're talking about in the news recently with the release of O.J. Simpson in October, his parole hearing coming to his way. You actually made an offer to him, I understand.
Absolutely. We reached out to O.J. We go back with O.J. A long ways, and one of my PR guys used to go on his radio station all the time, and so we just want to help him make that transition, and we're only an hour and a half away, so why not have a bunch of blondes, go out in style, O.J., bunch of blondes in a limo, style. Pick him up at Lovelock, bring him to the ranch, and have him make that transition back into society. Yeah.
Now, I know that one of the conditions is that he has to have a place to stay that is secure and constant, and he should be, if possible, be involved in something that is gainfully employed, and I guess you're offering him those things.
Absolutely, and we've done it before with a couple celebrities. Mm-hmm. One of them was not involved in the prison system, but John Bobbitt.
Yeah.
John Bobbitt was our celebrity greeter for a long time, but then he also drove the limo. People loved having John Bobbitt pick him up in the limo until one night I got a call from the highway patrol about 4 in the morning saying, look, we got your limo pulled over. They were doing 110 miles an hour. I said, what? Is John driving that fast? They said, oh, no. He was too tired, so he let a 19-year-old girl drive the limo.
Okay.
He went to pick up a girl at the airport, and instead of he said he was too tired and for she should drive.
Oh, well, that doesn't work.
That didn't work very long at all. That was the end of that.
Yeah. Now, just so people know, John Bobbitt is the guy who had lost the family member down below.
Right.
Yes.
And then the wife threw it out the window for some. I can't even imagine how they found that, and reattached it. And of course, he was a tabloid titan, but he was also unemployable because people didn't want his celebrity disrupting their business.
If I had my penis thrown out a car window, I'd never want to be in a car again, especially driving. But that's that's up to him. I suppose. Might be bad memories for me.
All
right. So O.J. would be a celebrity greeter, as many have been in the past, and I think he would like something like that.
I think so, too. What a perfect thing to get to meet people and talk to them. And
okay.
We did that with Scott Thorson. Scott Thorson's fame came from the movie Behind the Candelabra. He was Liberace's lover, and Matt Damon played him in the movie.
Yes.
Michael Douglas played Liberace, and they won 11 Academy Awards for HBO.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that with him. We got him out of jail, brought him here, got him into counseling, got him into Narcotics Anonymous. He took care of his medical needs, and he was here meeting people at the ranch, and it worked out good. And the parole people didn't have a problem with it because they know that if there's any place that's drug free, which there isn't any place, but the money ranch is going to be as close to that as you can because we've got zero tolerance.
Right. Well, that makes sense. Now, I assume that O.J. has not responded to you. Maybe he can't in the position he's still in, but I assume you haven't.
Well, I think right now, until he gets right down to the end, he needs to keep close to his vest what he's doing.
Yeah.
Just in case somebody wanted to complain about it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to take any chances on losing his freedom. But, we reached out to him, and we think we got to him. He's got to just make the decision whether he wants to go someplace else or here. He can have privacy here.
Yeah.
The tourists aren't going to be able to get to him.
Right.
Just the clients.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a bar to work. Imagine working in a bar with a bunch of hot girls.
Now, I'll take that.
Not
job.
Everybody agrees with this.
If he does,
I got to tell you,
the
blondes are scared to death. The brunettes like it. And the Afro-American girls are like, whatever.
Okay. I had read that there was some controversy due to the offer from some of your employees.
Well, some of them are feared for their safety, and mm-hmm. Madame Suzette is scared about our memorabilia. We have millions mm-hmm. of dollars worth of memorabilia
here.
Oh,
and he does like to take those things.
Well, he's got a history of it, so she's concerned about that.
Yeah.
The blondes are concerned about their safety.
Yeah.
There's definitely, it's a mixed bag.
Yeah.
You know, some are for, some are against it. Yeah. It's like, wait a minute, what happened to that adage of, you know, you paid your time and now it's time to get back into society?
Mm.
But, you know, the one thing about OJ is that he'll always be a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the girls are also concerned about the Kardashian curse because they think he's cursed by the Kardashians too. Because remember, he was a part of that whole thing
at
the beginning.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a curse to be a Kardashian. There's no question about that. And to
There's only one curse that's worse.
Yeah.
Go to bed with one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, look at all these guys. Ray J, the rapper. Where's he at?
I know.
We never heard of him.
Yeah.
Reggie Bush,
mm-hmm.
Chris Humphries. I mean, there's a list of victims relationships that didn't work out. Pretty long list.
You're absolutely right. I don't think I even want to talk to him on the phone.
You shouldn't.
Yeah, don't worry. I don't think that'll be a problem. Okay, let's talk about the establishment itself because it's kind of fun and people don't entirely understand what this is about. It's a series of quote unquote brothels that even been featured on the HBO series, and the most popular and famous of it in this country, where it is perfectly legal where you're doing these things. But it's run extremely efficiently like a high-class hotel.
Well, absolutely. And that's basically it. It's a hotel. It's a wonderful hotel bar.
Mm-hmm.
But the odds are real good that you're going to have some companionship
probably,
if you want it.
Probably.
And, you know, if you're a nice guy and you got a little bit of money,
mm-hmm.
Been here 62 years.
Wow.
And it all started in the 1850s with Virginia City, you know, the big Comstock load. Mark Twain's the editor of the newspaper, 20,000 immigrant miners. And the mining companies actually encouraged the girls to come out here and set up because they wanted the guys staying here working because mm-hmm. the guys just wanted to drink, gamble, and mm-hmm. have girls.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the oldest form of entertainment. In the world, actually more prominent in other countries than it is even in this one. But in your establishment, you actually make sure that it is safe physically as well.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, knock on wood, we just don't have any problems. Mm-hmm. It's just a normal business once you get past what the product is, which is a sexual service.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the motto, Andy Kaufman came up with the motto, Dennis Hoff's world famous Moonlight Bunny Ranch, not mm-hmm. just sex and adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right. We've made it more about the adventure than anything. Just having a good time, hanging out with the girls in the Cat House series and eating and having fun and drinking and karaoke night, DJs. And we just make it fun.
Yeah, and you're providing a service that people want, but in a respectful manner on top of it, which is a lot of people don't understand that. You know, when you watch the movies, they always look like they're ratty little places and things like that. But this is not the case here.
Well, you think of prostitution as a mattress and a candle and a girl, and it's not like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's your daddy's old cat house.
Right.
This is a whole new breed. The girls are here because they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
The girls are tested weekly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, half these girls have college educations,
mm-hmm.
and 22% of them have master's degrees.
Mm-hmm.
I've got three PhDs working for me. You know, one is a PhD candidate, almost. Mm-hmm. About to get her PhD,
mm-hmm.
came from Yale, moved to Nevada, is actually teaching at University of Nevada, Las Vegas,
mm-hmm.
and works for me part-time at the ranch.
Yeah. And we've talked about this before as well, but this is almost the most fascinating part of it to me, is that there are many politicians, celebrities, let's say well-known people, that take advantage of the services and the quality of the services at the ranches.
Well, there's a lot of people that should have. I mean, if Bill Clinton would have been coming here, he wouldn't have any problems in his life.
Well, I don't know.
You know, Elliot Spitzer. I mean, we could talk for days. I mean, and Larry Flint, one of Larry Flint's books, I think he said that a politician loses his reputation and a lot of them their career every 6 months for the last 30 years.
That's true. That's very true.
Politicians liking sex. Wow, that's what a shocker.
Yeah. But you do protect the identities of those that visit, because you're not out to promote that. And there, I know there's a private entrance and there's limousine service and such in order to to protect what they're wanting to have a good time.
Well, absolutely. Our business is built on privacy and discretion. Nobody's going to know you're here unless you're an idiot like Lamar and start doing drugs after he promised you wouldn't be doing any.
Right. Well, it's the Kardashian curse. You just said that, so that's the difference. Yeah, and you can't fight the curse. You just can't fight it.
Can you imagine waking up one morning and say, oh, my gosh, I'm here in paradise at the Love Ranch, Las Vegas, and I'm having fun, and now I've got to go back to sleep with her. Oh, no. You start loading up on the drugs.
Oh, my. Well, it's a possible scenario, one that is most likely. All right. Anything else in the works in the near future?
Well, we got our seventh location is going to be a sports-themed brothel outside of Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And so we're working on that, you know, with the Raiders coming.
That's right.
Of course, many of the Raiders have been to the ranch. Yeah. And so we're going to open up a sports theme, and we want all the girls to be wearing their favorite team's cheerleader outfits. Okay. That's going to be the dress code. And we think that's going to be fun. Sports memorabilia on the walls. We've got all kinds of it. And and we're going to have a sports-themed brothel.
Yeah.
I mean, guys love drinking beer and eating wings and having hot girls around them.
Yeah. I assume there are people from all over the country and the world that pay a visit every once in a while.
Yep, I do too. There's no question about it. And we're going to have a brothel museum. We took an old brothel there, and we closed it down, and we're making a museum, and then we built a new brothel next to it.
Interesting.
So it's going to be a fun venture. You know, our alien cat house theme has worked very well, where the girls dress and, you want to be with Princess Leia, or you want to be William Shatner for the day. You got the costumes and all that.
Well, it's a fantasy business, isn't it, really?
When you come down to it. Yeah, it is.
You know, it's
and I say that, you know, especially with the baby boomers, you know, us guys are getting a little older, and it's more about fantasy and role play than it is the sex itself.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Walt Disney would appreciate it, but it's an adult Disney World, kind of, in a way.
Well, if Walt Disney had been coming to the Bunny Ranch, he'd have still been alive.
Okay. And who knows that he didn't. Okay.
All right. I cannot confirm nor deny that Walt Disney nor Mickey Mouse or Goofy has ever been to the Bunny Ranch.
you've had Goofy there and you know it. Anyway, so they simply Google the Bunny Ranch and they'll find out about the locations and all that, and they can make a phone call and hear all kinds of
stuff. Yep, so we're starting to look like Starbucks and McDonald's franchise. Seven locations in Nevada.
Just don't put the number of served out on the sign, that's all.
Well, I'm going to do that. I want to have a sign that says that. And every time somebody books some money, they push it and the number changes.
That's right. Up on the
over 3,876 served.
Hey, it's always fun to talk to you, Dennis, and we'll do it soon again.
And I want to come to Boston.
Okay. We'll talk soon.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that make me. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
About sex, but now to the people at home or in the crowd, it keeps coming up anyhow. Don't be coy, avoid or make void the topic, cause that ain't gonna stop it. Now we talk about sex on the radio and video show. Many will know anything goes. Let's tell it like it is and how it could be, how it was, and of course how it should be. Those who think it's dirty have a choice: pick up the needle, press pause, or turn the radio off. Will that stop us, Ben? I doubt it. All right then, come on, spin.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that make me. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
A little bit, a little bit.
Let's talk about sex.
Hi, this is Bob Robinson from Bob's Handy Around the House.
I'm a local handyman. I've been in business for the last 50 years on my own, doing light repair work in our area. Whatever you need done, carpentry, painting, floors, tiling, yard work, I can do it all for you. I'll come to your home and do the work for a very reasonable fee. Naked. I should probably mention that I will be naked while I do this work. Buck naked, not a stitch on me, waving in the wind, in my birthday suit, showing what God gave me, naked as a jaybird. I'll be naked the whole time. I show up naked, I do the work naked, you pay me while I'm naked. Bob's Handy Around the House, Bob Robinson. You can look me up on Facebook, where I am naked.
Hi, I'm Steve Miller. I've been a trial lawyer in Florida and Massachusetts since 1985. If you and your spouse hate each other like poison and want to get out of the hellhole you call a marriage, you've come to the right place. Look, you can waste your money screwing around with some paper pusher paralegal type, give thousands of dollars to some piece of crap three-piece suit downtown, blow your brains out trying to figure out why you wasted 25 bucks on the crappy forms you bought from the illiterate boob at the courthouse, or do what I say and do it now. We know what we're doing here. Look at this website, a work of art. Here's the story. Pay us a little and we get you a lot. Don't worry about the details. We'll take care of business and let you know when to crack open the champagne. Okay, time to move on. Go to the Get the Divorce page in the upper right corner, pay up, and you're on your way to getting rid of that vermin you call a spouse. We're here to help. Divorce EZ, a Florida law firm.
Oh boy. All right. Thank you, Dennis, for joining us today. That was fanciful and just information-wise a fantastic cornucopia of education. Yes, it was. Yes, indeed it was. I love the term birthday suit. Isn't that creative? Instead of saying that you're naked or you don't have any clothes on, you're wearing your birthday suit. That is, who came up with that? That's an award right there. That's some type of a lifelong achievement award. When you're born, you have nothing on. I did. I was wearing pants. But most people wear nothing when they're born, when they come out of that womb thing. You know? They're wearing their birthday suit. They're not wearing a suit. That's funny. It's funny. Funny. Do you ever see a dog being born? That's adorable.
Aww.
Yeah. That's adorable. People just love puppies. Whenever you're feeling blue or down or depressed, just look at a picture of somebody holding up a puppy.
Aww.
And what's doubly engaging is a young child holding up a puppy.
Aww.
And what's even more engaging than that is a puppy holding up a young child.
Aww.
Nothing beats that. Nothing, not even a full house. It's an amazing thing. People just stop in their tracks when they see a little puppy dog. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter. You just stop. Oh, there's a puppy dog. I feel that way about all young animals, except children, oddly enough. When I see a young puppy, puppies are always young, just for your information. You go, oh my God. You see a young little giraffe, you know, a child giraffe. They're so tiny, and yet these gigantic animals, and this is a little tiny version because it's just like a baby giraffe. It's a baby. It's adorable.
Aww.
Yeah. Even a baby elephant, even a baby hippopotamus is adorable.
Aww.
I know. You can't hold them up, but they're adorable. Baby animals are just engaging. And then sometimes you'll even see a bottle of milk in the mouth of a baby animal. That's too much. It's just too much. I can't, my brain can't take that much adorableness at once. It's too much. It's more than I can handle. And yet, for some odd reason, when I see a baby crying and screaming, I'm not as fond. I'm not as fond as I would be seeing a baby animal. Why is that? Is it just me? I know people stop in the street when they see a mother walking down the street with an infant. They stop and they do that. They say the awe.
Aww.
And then they look at it and they say things like, oh, it looks just like you. Not it. I mean, the baby looks just like you, or that's a cute baby. Oh, your baby's adorable. And then they engage in conversation. Oh, how old is your baby? What does it weigh? How many grams does it weigh? What do you feed it? How do you shut it up when it won't stop screaming? How do you change its diaper when it's splurting all that feces all over the wall? How do you handle that? But you don't ask that of baby animals. There's no one to talk to. I've never raised a baby animal. It might be quite horrible. That's a lovely puppy you have. Yeah, you clean up the urine in my rug. And the poop all over my poop deck outside. Yeah, you do that. You take the barking and the whimpering by this dog all night as I try to sleep. See how adorable your little puppy is now. I don't know. Although puppies, man, you know, once you housebreak them, they are adorable. They're just fun. A child is never fun. Never fun. Either they're pooping and peeing all over the place, screaming and ranting, having fits and tantrums, walking around, knocking themselves into walls, falling downstairs, complaining. They won't eat. They won't do anything. They won't shut up. They won't be quiet in the car. They refuse to do things. They get into drugs and alcohol. They start having sex with each other at the age of 11. It's you know, that just never ends. That adorable factor just kind of mellows out quickly. But a puppy dog, it never ends. It's interesting, my friends. I think we don't like our own species. I think that's what it is. I'll raise my hand. I don't particularly care for my own species. I think for the most part they're a bunch of dickheads, but that's just my opinion. Maybe we know different people. But, yeah. Maybe the problem is that human beings are too highly evolved or aren't highly evolved enough compared to where I expect them to be highly evolved, both. Maybe I think that I expect too much from human beings. I expect them to be compassionate, respectful, really nice, intelligent, somewhat educated, pleasant, agreeable. I expect too much from people. I don't expect that much from a puppy dog. Puppy dogs eat their food, do their stuff on the papers, sit in your lap, lick your face, lick their own crotches, which is fine, doesn't bother me. If I could lick my crotch, I probably would too. Maybe that's the difference.
Aww.
All right. We're out of time for today. I'll be back again tomorrow. Please join me then. Until then, I wish you peace.